The Rodcast.
If you want more information, go to rodders.com and click on Rodders FM. Ian Lee is the guest tonight, and I've just had a very funny prank call. I'll tell you about that in a minute. So, without further ado, or anyone monkeying? Yes, monkeying around. This is Rodders FM. Let's get on with the show!
Warning, warning, this show is complete f**ks and is not fit for human consumption. If you or anyone you know are suffering severe mental episodes due to the content of this show, call the Rodders FM Psychiatric Helpline on 0844-884-831.
Hello.
Or you can Skype us using the Skype name Rodders FM with no spaces. And remember, if you call in, mute your radio.
You have been warned.
Your week's been enough. You've taken crap from everyone you know. But Friday come like morning sun. It's Rodders. Brand new show. It's got Z-list guests, crazy competitions, Mystic Mug, and Beelzebub.
This song is diabolical.
Thank God it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday. Thank God it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday. Thank God it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday.
I've caught out then. I wasn't concentrating at all. This is Rodders FM. We are live across the internet on Rodders.com. Let's have a bit of background music. That's what I was looking for. Shout out to everybody who's listening. We've got an amazing show coming up. Somebody just called in using an appallingly fake Welsh accent. Let me fill in the background. I did a stand-up comedy gig in an event called Horseplay, run by my mate Ashley, all the way down in Brighton. He's a top guy. It was a fun event, and somebody phones in just now. We were in a terrible Welsh accent called Duelin, something like that, accusing me of saying things I didn't say there. She said, you were very racist, and I was like, well, no, you can accuse me of sexism, which I was, but it's all good humour. You shouldn't take comedy too seriously, because comedy is comedy, isn't it? And oh, we've run out of background music. This is a great start of the show. But tonight on the show, we have an absolutely hilarious guest tonight. We have Ian Lee from Virgin Radio. He is going to be coming up very shortly. But firstly, I think we're going to go for this feature that, quite frankly, it makes everybody sick.
Now's the part of the show where Rodders will go on a rant about what really makes him sick. You make me f***ing
sick to my stomach. What's up? This is Rodders here. Just telling you what really makes me sick. It's not Welsh people, don't worry. Now, we are live across the internet on a thing known as Rodders FM. I'm going to open up the phone lines now so I can call people back and stuff. What is making me sick tonight is probably the reason why on the webcam everything is all yellow and dingy. Energy-saving bulbs. They're complete rubbish. Energy companies are being forced to give them out now for free. They're going to get rid of all normal bulbs. So instead of, you know, gone will be the days of modernness when we can walk into a room, turn the lights and ping, there it will be. Oh no, we have to walk in to a room, turn the light switch on, and then walk out again. Because they take so long to warm up and actually generate any sort of light. I mean, I think they're bad for the environment, because you just end up destroying the environment whilst blundering around in the dim light it gives. You can't just say, if I go in looking to my room looking for something like a monkey wrench, I'll turn the light on and it's going to be really dim, so I'll blunder around knocking things over. Oh dear, I've walked into the ozone layer. See what I mean? It's a slippery slope to disaster. So energy-saving bulbs, right, are making me actually sick. Right, what I said, let's take some messages from the chat room. I was saying my room's yellow and dingy, and Brench in the chat room goes, your mum's yellow and dingy. And if you're listening on satellite radio, Getting that chat room is absolutely hilarious. And a phone-in topic tonight, and you can Skype me. My Skype name is RodsFM. Or, you know, I wish I could take... Or you can ring me on 0844-8844-831. And holiday disasters. What's the only close thing I've had to a holiday disaster is my dad losing me in an airport when I was only 7. Luckily, I knew what to do. I went to Luftwaffe Airways, gave a call out going,
attention, please, could Roderick's parents, even though they probably don't want him, please come to the Luftwaffe Airways check-in desk. Thank you.
And they did that. So I want to know your holiday disasters. And this reminds me, when I went to the Lake District, there's a diary where people who stayed in this holiday cottage wrote down what they did, and I copied out some extracts from it because they were so funny. So obviously some family with really moronic kids had let them loose on the diary. It's like, day one, I'm going to quote now, tried flying a kite, but it didn't work. Perhaps you did it indoors, you nincompoop. And then this has got to be the best one. Tried going to an open farm, but it was closed. Oh, that's awful. And we're going to do the quizzical quiz.
Thank God it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday.
Let me give you a little sneak peek of who is coming up on the show very shortly.
Hello, this is Ian Lee. I've been forced to say the words that I'm about to say to you. Please don't believe them. There is a gun at my head. You are listening to Rodders FM. It is good. Can I go now, please?
See, Rodders FM is good. Ian Lee is up next.
Rodders FM, more fun than a kick in the ball.
Now, on the line, we have somebody who presents the Ian Lee Show on Virgin Radio. Yes, work it out, Einstein. It's Ian Lee!
I used to like him. He's good.
I know, he's very good, but, you know... It's gone down the pan recently because there's been a lot of insubordination among the listeners. Firstly, I understand you were born in Slough.
I was born in Slough, that is correct, yes, 5 points.
Are you proud to come from Slough? Because I'm yet to find somebody that is.
Oh, no, well, I have to be careful because my mum still lives near Slough, so I still sometimes go into Slough High Street, but no, it's a dump.
But I'm not keen on it because people go, oh, Reading, that's where I live. Reading is just a Slough overfill, and really it's... much nicer.
No, hang on, Reading's a dump, isn't it?
Yeah, but at least we've got a rock festival.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, Slough had a festival for 3 years, I think.
And they don't call
Gary Glitter played there 1 year.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Well, that's not as good as celebrity nonce. Never mind.
No, hopefully he didn't run a creche while the parents were watching him.
No, there was none of that going on, I don't think.
None of that monkey business, but Slough, at least John...
I like the way you refer to paedophilia as monkey business. It wouldn't be so much more acceptable if we just called it monkey business,
no,
for goodness sake.
No, you cheeky monkey! Get off me, monkey!
But, yeah.
At least John Betjeman, the poet, didn't write about Reading. Come friendly bombs and drop on
I had
Slough.
When I was still doing stand-up many years ago, I had a massive row with a heckler, a very drunk heckler, about who wrote that poem.
You started out you started off your career as a stand-up comedian. What was that like? Stand-up something I'm very interested in doing at the moment, and I did a little performance at my school.
How did it go at your school?
It went well, but luckily all my friends are in the audience, so it went quite nicely. And I'm going to an event called Horseplay in Brighton to do some stand-up.
I'm going to an event called Monkey Business to do something completely different.
With Gary Glitter.
Yeah. See, I never felt comfortable doing it in front of people that I know. I always prefer to do it in a room full of strangers. And
yeah, at least it doesn't leave a lasting impression if you mess up.
Yeah, exactly. You can kind of slink away and, you know, if your friends are laughing, you're never sure if they're laughing just out of being nice or if they're taking the piss or whatever, really. So I always says, well done for doing it in front of people that you know. I've only just recently been able to kind of do stuff in front of people I know, so it's taken me 10 years to get there.
Yeah, well, what was your first gig like? Now, what made you become a comedian? Because I think it's a very certain person that, you know, has to have the certain drive to become one.
Well, I tell you what the drive was. The drive was I was studying drama and I couldn't get any acting work, so I did some stand-up. That was the thing. My very first gig, saying that, my very first gig was downstairs at the King's Head, which is one of the best clubs in the world in Crouch End. And it was for college, so it was, in fact, full of loads of people I knew. But I just got very, very drunk. It was very sweary, and it wasn't that funny, really, but it was more just the sense of achievement of having got through it was greater. And then I didn't do it for ages, and then I left college, couldn't get any acting work, and decided to do stand-up just so that I could, you know, do something with my time.
What's brave and also foolish about that is you did it drunk. I couldn't, if I was drunk, I couldn't think straight. I'm drunk, I forget words. I was talking to somebody when I was drunk at a party about, oh yeah, I'm going on a holiday to New York. But I'd forgot, my brain had forgotten, and or drowned in alcohol, the two words New and York. So it was a difficult conversation.
So what came out then? Just, I'm going.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to go.
Yeah, no, getting drunk doesn't work. It's a silly mistake, you know. It messes everything up, and you're right.
Finding a venue is hard. I actually had to, there's no opportunity to do it at school, so I set up with this GAP student set up called Toby. He sometimes listens in. He set up a drama group, and yeah. I sort of hijacked it, and we made this event called Stand and Deliver. Some people did, you know, after the Adam and the Ant song, we did, some people did some great monologues. My mate Josh, who's sometimes co-host on this show, and
I'm not going to say hello to Josh. I don't like the sound of him. I'm suspicious.
No, he's quite suspicious.
I'm envious that you've got so much get up and go. I never had that much get up and go when I was 18. I certainly haven't got anything approaching that now.
Thanks. But how did you get this venue going?
It was all put on by the college. That was a cheat. And then when I left college, it was simply a case. It's the one of the worst, most soul destroying things you can do. Is get a copy of Time Out and ring through all of the clubs and say, can I have a tryout spot, please? And you will get some people who are very friendly and very accommodating and will say, yes, come and do 5 minutes in 6 months' time. You'll get some people who are absolute tossers and will say, no, I've never heard of you, you can't come and do an open spot.
Keep at it, and eventually I guess you'll get to the dizzy heights of Jonglers and stuff.
You know, I did a few gigs. I did one or two.
I loved going to Jonglers.
Jonglers is what it is. It's a place where blokes go on stag nights and girls go on hen nights, and it just happens that there's someone standing on a stage with a microphone, you know. I did a few gigs at Jonglers. It was generally the sort of smaller club. As soon as I got on telly, I lost my bottle and I stopped doing it. I did my second one in 8 years last week, and it was brilliant. I killed them. I couldn't believe it. They all
yeah, literally. Now you're serving a prison sentence. So stand-up must have got you somewhere, because you ended up being a co-host on the 11 o'clock show, which aired at 11 o'clock, conveniently enough. How on earth did you get into that? That must have been a big break.
I don't think it ever aired exactly on 11 o'clock, bastard.
How did you get into that, then? That must have been a big break for you.
You know, I just auditioned for it, really. I was skint, and I'd run out of money, and I was going to have to... I think I'd moved back to my mum's, actually. I was so broke. And I heard about this show that they were holding auditions for, and I thought, you know what, I will have one last push. I'll go for this show, and then when they say no, I'll go and get a proper job for 2 or 3 years. And I got it, you know. It kind of dragged on for months, the audition process, and then I was just going to be doing these tiny little VTs in it. And then the Thursday before, the show went out on a Tuesday, and the Thursday before it went out, they said, oh, we haven't got a third host for the show, because it was two other blokes doing it at the time. Would you like to try for it? I did, and I kind of got the third host gig.
You did some wacky stuff, and I've got a little clip lined up, so let's have a look. This is a clip of you are running around the streets, you're doing an item on how in the news where you're trying to research whether it is masculine to fight, because apparently back in the 90s men were feeling emasculated.
Oh yes, I remember this.
Rail the clip, Jimmy.
Do you think the 90s man has become more emasculated?
Emasculated? I'm not sure.
What that means?
I'm not sure if they have become more emasculated.
You know what it means?
More masculine.
Does fighting impress the girls?
Some girls.
So that's that clip. That sounded like a hell of a lot of fun, just running around talking to idiots on the street.
Yeah, that was my favourite bit, was going out and doing the Vox Pops. And we did those twice a week, and I would come in 8 o'clock in the morning, we'd look through the paper, we'd pick a story that we could kind of sort of use as a springboard, and then we'd write a load of questions and go out for 2 or 3 hours and film it. And that was it, and I loved it. That was my favourite bit. It was the bit that I had the most input in, because I didn't really write much of the studio stuff, hardly any of it. And it was great. Sometimes it worked and was brilliant. Sometimes it didn't work and it was rubbish.
Were you given a lot of creative freedom with that?
With the Vox Pops, yeah, I was. It was me, a cameraman called Jade, and a director. First director was
a man called Jade.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy, huh? Those are the 90s, man. Anything was possible. And there was one of the directors I worked with was a guy called James Bobin, who's since gone off to write and direct Flight of the Conchords.
Wow.
And another guy called Andy Scott, who has since gone off to write and direct Soft Pornography. and yeah, it was great. We had a lot of freedom with that. You know, that was that was more me than any of the stuff we did in the studio, I think.
So you gave your reason for giving up stand-up, but was it really because you were too lazy to stand up for more than 2 minutes, so you went into radio where you can just sit in a chair?
Radio kind of came along. When I was doing the 11 o'clock show, you know, when you're on telly, you can pretty much walk into any sort of... when you're doing a high-profile show, like the 11 o'clock show, you can pretty much walk into anywhere and say, can I have a job? And I did that at XFM. I went in and said, oh, can I have a job at XFM? They went, yeah, go on. And I didn't really think anything of it. I was doing it more as a hobby.
You've started doing a show on LBC, 97.3
FM, on London, and all that crap.
And you first covered for Clive Bull.
Yeah.
So was that your first big radio job, or did you do XFM first?
Well, I did XFM. I did XFM for 8 months or something, and I got the sack because they wanted me to do the breakfast show, and I didn't really want to do it. I was young. I was doing the telly show. I was a bit arrogant, full of myself. And I didn't want to do the breakfast show, which then went to Christian O'Connell.
The breakfast show is the biggest thing, though, in radio.
Yeah, I didn't want to get up early. I was doing like a really popular big TV show, and the radio was never a career for me at the time. It was just something to do to go and piss around on. And the thought of getting up at 5 o'clock every morning or whatever to do a radio show didn't appeal to me in the slightest at that point in my life. Yeah, but then LBC came along, and LBC, you know, came along at a very fortuitous moment, because I just had a meeting with Celebrity Big Brother, which I hated, but I thought, well, I'm skinned, I could do with some money. The very next day after that meeting, I got offered a job at LBC, so I was able to tell Big Brother to shove it.
Wicked. And then how did you get to Virgin Radio?
It's a very boring story, but LBC got taken over. My boss there, David Lloyd, left, shall we say. LBC were trying to change my show. The new bosses were changing my show and doing all kinds of stuff that was making me very, very unhappy there, and I could see it all getting worse and worse.
Changing it in what way? Because your format was people call in, you talk to them, and that's the format. How did they want you to change it?
They told me to have less nutters on. That was one of their instructions. And once I heard that, it was like, oh dear. They just wanted it to be more structured than I'm comfortable with. They wanted more topics. They wanted it to be slightly topical. They wanted less madness. They didn't want any calls straight to air. All of these kind of things I didn't... It was becoming a show that I wouldn't have enjoyed doing very much. And so I decided to leave. And by coincidence, David Lloyd had moved to Virgin. And so... after leaving LBC, of course, there was a certain amount of time in my contract that I couldn't go anywhere else. After that had passed, I went and had a chat with David Lloyd and said, any chance for a job? He said, oh, I think we can fit you in on Sunday nights. I always thought that the show I was doing on LBC would benefit from being national, and it's good to get different callers calling in, different voices, different accents.
Yeah, bad gum. It's great, and also good for the callers. You have to hang on the phone for like half an hour after about 10 o'clock.
Yeah, I know that. That's something I need to sort out, and it will get sorted out. And I apologise to everyone who has waited more than 25.
You get a lot of crazy callers. But this is a clip from last night's show.
Oh, don't you do Dave from Pinner?
Yeah, it is Dave from Pinner.
Oh,
where
God, all
it?
Right, if you have to.
D-A-V, how do I spell Dave? There we go. Ian Lee, Dave clip, that should be it. So, be warned, this is the typical example of every single archetypal caller on Ian's show.
Dave, you just called in, what do you want?
Well, first of all, it's Dan Pinner.
Sorry?
First of all, it's Dan Pinner.
All right, Dave from Pinner, then. Wherever. I got your location wrong. Whoopee-doo, get to the point, then go and get a life.
You got something against me?
I've got something against you? Yeah, you came...
You got something...
This guy sounds mentally ill.
Yeah, Dave is Barry from Watford Sun. He's a tosser. Excuse my language. He's very violent. He has attacked me once in the past, and he's probably on drugs. I say he's on drugs.
Oh, yeah, I want to talk about that in a minute. Let's just roll the rest of the clip quickly.
I don't have to listen to anything you say. Goodbye.
Well, always when the call. He is the son of a regular and really nice, funny caller. But what's it? I heard about him assaulting you. What was all that about?
Oh, yeah, when I was doing a Christmas show on LBC once, and I don't think Barry was invited, but Barry turned up. I think. And there was some confusion about whether Barry was supposed to be there or not. And Dave turned up and he got through security and he punched me on air. It all got a little bit nasty. To be honest, I've blocked it out of my mind. It was genuinely terrifying and quite unpleasant experience. He's just an arsehole.
That's the craziest caller you ever had.
Is that the craziest caller we've ever had? We've probably had people who are actually more mentally ill than Dave. But yeah, what are you going to say to me?
Oh my God. He's just like a whirlwind of mindless, spineless, punching rage.
Oh, he's horrible. You haven't got a phone number on your show, have you?
Yeah. 08444884831.
Right, well, then he's... Be careful, because if he latches onto you, mate, then it's game over, I'm afraid. So just be careful.
I will. I don't want to attract callers like that. I get the occasional nutter, but they're normally people, they swear, then they hang up. It's normally when I've said something controversial, I slagged off that fat woman on Britain's Got Talent, and some guy just picks up the phone and goes, "You fascist bastard," and then hangs up. And I was like,
I don't like the ones, the hit and runs. If you don't agree with me or don't agree with someone, then stick around and have an argument. That's where the fun begins. But, you know, you're just saying you're a tosser and putting the phone down. Well, you know, anyone can do that. It's easy.
Yeah, I've got a couple more quick questions about your show.
Yes, sir.
That you've got a top 50 list of top listeners. What's going on there? There seems to be some listeners setting up a rival list. What's going on?
Rob Benet, he's an idiot. Him and his boyfriend Paulie think it's hilarious to phone up and go, "Oh, Ryan Reynolds, oh, I've got a dirty," and they've got this stupid list of losers on there. Losers and idiots. Yeah, including my girlfriend
and your producer.
Yeah, idiots, they're on there. It's a stupid thing. No one's interested. They'll get bored and they're banned from my show for life.
It's quite funny, though. You've got to have a sense of humour about these things, surely.
No, it's not funny, Rod. No, it's not funny at all.
Really?
No, it's not funny. It's bloody annoying and it's rude. It's not funny in the slightest. They are losers, and if their harassment, because that's what it is, continues, then they will be hearing from my solicitors.
Really? That's pretty serious stuff.
Well, yeah.
What's the biggest trouble you've ever got into on radio?
Oh, the biggest trouble I ever got into on radio was a Triple M show on LBC where it was 3 hours of calls going straight to air. I'm going to say a naughty word, so get ready to bleep it or whatever. We have a 7-second delay, so someone phones up and swears, we can dump it so it doesn't go out. But someone phoned up and went, "Ian Lee, you are a c***." And we cut him off, we dumped it, and we thought, well, that's fair enough, we did that. And then slowly people started phoning up saying, "Yeah, Ian, we heard what that guy said." And as soon as someone said that, my heart just sank.
Oh my God.
Dump button hadn't worked. It only half worked.
No.
So I think it had dumped it on digital, but it hadn't dumped it on FM. We managed to get out of trouble because we could prove that we had pressed the dump button and it was a technical fault and we'd done everything we could and we apologised. People just phoning up and swearing, it's not very clever. But people phoning up, I like getting pranked, definitely.
Is it true that you prank call late night quiz shows on the telly?
I used to. I don't do it anymore, but yes, I did a thing where I would phone up these quiz channels, you know, the ones where it's a con, and it's, basically they're saying, guess what I'm thinking, and win £50. And I used to phone up and say, is it Ghostbusters 2? Now, it doesn't sound hilarious, but it is surprisingly funny. They're all on YouTube. If you go to youtube.com/TheRealIanLee, then I stopped when I got busted, and I got a phone bill for £600.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I bet it was worth every penny, though.
It was worth every little bit of it. Luckily, I was using my mum's phone, so I didn't have to pay for it.
I've got a fortune teller in the studio, so we can talk to him a bit later. Or her. There's two of them. I don't know which one's going to appear today. Cool. Taking calls to answer. I have to almost beg my listeners to come in, so it's great that you get all these... Well, no wonder you're on a national station, but still, you've got to drum up interest. What sort of topics work best?
Oh, well, I'm struggling a little bit with Virgin. At LBC, because it's a talk station, and because a lot of older people listened, you could go on and say something vaguely contentious, like all libraries should be closed down and turning to Blockbusters. Bam, you're going to get a load of people between 50 and 80 phoning up saying, how dare you say that? Blockbusters, you want to... No, libraries! Doing something where it's a little bit more inventive and a little bit more creative, which I kind of like to think is what I do, is it's a bit harder to sustain that and to keep people phoning in for that.
How does John Prescott look?
How does John Prescott look? Well,
terrible.
I'm going to tell you,
it's a joke.
Oh, I thought.
Isn't he the blind one?
So you see how easy it is to get people riled up. You can do it.
Yeah, isn't he the blind one?
No, Prescott's the punch-up.
God, that means that my joke just didn't work at all. I was
no,
trying...
not at all. Not the slightest. The blind fella. What's the blind... Fandango, what's the blind man called? You know, the blind fella. He used to have a dog. He used to be on telly a lot with the beard.
David
Blunkett. Thank you, Fandango.
Wow, I actually heard her speak then. For a moment, I thought you were pretending.
No, she's a real lady. When I say lady, I don't mean like she's not classy or nothing. She's dead common. But she's a physical person. And when I say physical, I mean physical.
We've got Mystic Mug in the studio right here.
Nice.
And, well, we're going to play her jingle, although I think she's bottled it and her apprentice is here.
She's been to the brink of insanity and back to tell you your future. It's the magical, mystical...
Mystic Mug!
Oh, Christ, is everyone all right there?
Hello, it's Mystic Malcolm here. I'm afraid Mystic Mug's on a sabbatical, whatever that means.
Right, Malcolm, this is one of the, you know, probably one of the best guests we had, so don't muck this up.
I don't know his name. What's your star sign?
I'm a Gemini.
Justin Timberlake?
No, Gemini.
Well, that probably means you're a twin, so it means you've developed schizophrenia. You're going to change your name to Leonie because your calls are out of interest. Have you ever seen the film Talk Radio?
Is this going anywhere?
I have never seen the film Talk Radio, but I've seen the video case in Blockbusters.
Well, it's about a talk radio host.
Yeah, thanks for your input, Malcolm. It's about a talk radio host who gets his show goes out of control. I think really you should watch it.
Oh, okay. I'll put that on my list of things to rent.
It might terrify you.
Anyway, I think you're going to change your name to be a Chris Boyle show in an attempt to get more listeners. Then you'll get in loads of trouble and stuff.
Yeah, thanks, Malcolm.
Malcolm. How does he do that? Is he in contact with the dead or what?
No, he's incontinent. I know that much, and I've got to clear that up in a minute. I'm sorry about him. He's rubbish. He's the worst thing in this station other than me. I say station, it's some sort of bedroom somewhere in Reading. Anyway, cheers for the interview, Ian. You've been a great guest and everything.
Hey, God bless you, sir, and, you know, keep on fighting the fight and doing what you're doing. And all this stuff from people's bedrooms and stuff is I'm a big supporter of, so well done.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's been a wicked guest, and you can catch him 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Sunday night on Virgin Radio. Put your hands together, bring them apart again to make clapping noises for Mr. Ian Lee.
No worries, man. I'll see you
later on. Bye.
Go to forum.rodders.com and join up to the forum. Interact with Rodders during the week. And the more rubbish you post, the more rubbish gets on the show.
Oh, yes, you are listening to Rodders FM. We are live across the internet on Rodders.com. We've got a song to play now. It's by Hattie Snooks, and what a great surname. I like it. It's good. You couldn't make up a better surname. And we're about to play her song, so we might as well just have a little chat to her. If she's going to pick up the phone, she thought it would be funny to prank call me. So,
hello, is that Hattie?
Hattie, you're live across the internet on Rodders.com, and
hello.
You are a musician and all that lot. You're a prank caller and a liar, and you also help to run an event called Horseplay. So,
I do.
Plug that if you want.
Plug it? Well, it's music, poetry, spoken word, comedy, magic, contortion, generally not magic and contortion because we haven't got those yet, but one day we will. Fire eaters, hopefully. But
the next Horseplay is on Tuesday, the 26th of August at the Mad Hatter Cafe. That's Western Road in Brighton. It's the last Tuesday of the month. And I came down to this one, didn't I, and supposedly provided the comedy.
Yeah, you racist. No, it was great. It wasn't racist at all. Yes, it was very good. It's slightly feminist, but I'm okay with that. I don't drive.
It wasn't feminist, actually. It was anti-feminist. Feminist. It wasn't a comedy crowd, so I shouldn't have said anything. I told a joke which went some way along the lines of this, listeners. I say, I ran away from my driving instructor because I didn't think they were properly qualified. They say, oh, what do you mean? Of course I'm qualified. I've got this certificate. And I go, yeah, you've also got long hair and tits. There's no way you can teach me to drive. And at this point, this horrendous booing went up from the crowd. And I think, oh, no. So to remedy the situation, which actually just exacerbated the whole thing, I went, have we got any women here in the audience?
Oh, cracked me up, brothers. Actually, my favourite bit was the bit when afterwards I said, oh, it's a good job I don't drive. And then someone from the audience went, yeah, you'd have had more material then, mate.
Hattie, we're just about to play your song. It's a lovely song. I was listening to it earlier. And do you want to introduce it like a proper DJ and I'll press the button?
Okay. I'm Hattie Stinks and this is my single Cupid's Dating Agency.
He said, excuse me, madam, what seems to be the problem? And he gave me a winning smile. I said, all the other women have been given what they ordered, and I've been in this place for a while. The last one that she gave me, well, at first he was just lovely, then he turned into an overgrown child. And I'm sorry, Mr. Cupid, you know I don't mean to be rude, but next time you fire your shot, get it right. I'm waiting and I want someone to love, love, love. I've been waiting and I want someone to love. He said patience is a virtue, and if you want me to find you a man that will not hurt you, it takes time. You may want a guy with brown eyes that doesn't mind your fat thighs, and on paper and in theory that is fine. But I don't need to remind you that the last one I assigned you nearly went out of his fragile little mind. Please just promise you won't smother, you won't nag and you won't mother, and it may help if you ply him with some wine. You're lonely 'cause you're difficult to love, love, love. You're lonely 'cause you're difficult to love. Well, at that I made an exit, saying I don't have to take this from a cherub wearing nothing but his pants. And if he's like this with women, what on earth was I thinking, leaving him in charge of matters of romance? I'm so tired of waiting, I could even try speed dating, or failing that, leave it all up to chance. But I've spent too many years just moping around here, and nobody's even asked me for a dance. Oh, I'm scared, but I will find my way to love, love, love. I'm scared, but I will find my way to love. That evening I went searching just to find the perfect person, and at last I saw a gorgeous looking guy. Didn't think that I would do it, but guess what? I bit the bullet and I made myself go over and say hi. There when we were talking, could have sworn that I saw something quickly move out of the corner of my eye. You may call me stupid, but I know I saw Cupid take an arrow to his bow and make it fly.
Oh, an amazing song. I really like that. MySpace.com/... That is Hattie spelled H-A-T-T-I-E, then Snooks, S-N-O-O-K-S. Skype lines are open. Our phone line topic tonight is holiday disasters. And I think we've got a caller standing by. Hello, caller, you're on Thank Rod It's Friday. Don't drop your dishcloth.
Hi.
You are the brother of probably the most regular Rodhead, your sister, Leanna. What did you want to call in about? Holiday disasters, wasn't it?
Yeah. My sister's door took off.
She had to have her door taken off?
Yeah.
What? That doesn't make sense.
Yes, she did. Because she locked herself in. Chance the Doctor of Rodders FM.
Haven't had one successful caller this evening. No worries, because your Skype is really, really unclear. But from what I guessed, Leanna locked herself in a room on holidays and the door had to be taken off the hinges. And why not down check out nrgradio.co.uk. I'm syndicated on them.
Rodders FM. It's much better than a Yorkshire pudding.
Hello, caller. You're on the show. Welcome.
Yo, what's up, now?
What's up, homie? Where from the states are you calling from, anyway?
Michigan.
Oh, wow, Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I've got... I used to know some people over there that did a radio show, but they stopped. They're called Knockout Radio. Don't know if you ever heard of them. This is what I ask every most American who comes on this show, because we are from the UK. I'm somewhere near London, and I'm, in fact, drinking tea at the moment. And how would I make a proper cup of tea? A proper cup of tea?
How would I make a proper cup of tea? Is that the question?
Yep, that's the question.
Proper cup, boil water?
Yeah.
I guess.
But surely then you just get boiling water. That doesn't make sense. There's no tea involved in your answer there.
Boiling water and use a tea bag.
Oh, no, that's not how we do it. In Britain, what we do, we get a teapot. First you warm the teapot, then you put the tea leaves in, preferably or tea bags if you're skint, and then you let it stew in the teapot for a while, and then you put milk in the cup, and then you pour it in, and you have to drink it with your pinky extended like this, as I'm demonstrating on the Rodcam. But cheers for calling. You send me your email address, I'll send you a rubbish Rodders FM ringtone. Cheers for calling.
No problem.
Bye. We're going to have Danny and Andrew on the line at the same time. Hello, Andrew, you're on the show. Danny's declined to pick up.
Why has he declined to pick up?
Because he's a loser, probably. Have you had any holiday disasters?
Holiday disasters? Well, my mum and dad have had a holiday disaster.
Oh, come on, pray tell.
They got stuck on the top of a mountain in America.
How did they get stuck on a mountain?
It's a long story. This mountain didn't have any sort of directions or anything like that. And we all got lost. And I said, well, I'm going this way. And they said, no, we've got to go this way. And I said, no, it's definitely this way. So I went one way. They went the other. They got lost. And I found my way back to, like, the car that we hired out. And basically, I had to call, like, the American police and get the police out to find them and everything.
That's awful. And you know what I've got visions of now? Is on the webcam, you're a thin, bald gentleman, so I've got a picture of a larger version of you, who is your dad, than a shorter version of you with your head wearing a pink frock with walking boots going, oh no, it's this way, no, it's that way, I think we better go up the mountain. It's a fantastic story. Right, now we're going to try and get our two competitors on the line.
Hello?
Danny. Hello. And Andrew, you are here.
And now live from
Rodders FM,
Radio Reading, it's
the Quizzical Quiz!
So Andy, you were shouting baboons, and Danny, you were shouting, oh no, if you want it, that's the way you buzz in. No, I haven't read the question yet. Shut up. You guys are completely awful. You're the worst Rodheads ever. And people can see you on the webcam now. All smart. You've got an identical silly grin spread across your crazy faces. Number one, if you were travelling by Shank's pony, how would you be travelling?
Oh, no.
Danny, have you dropped something? You haven't wet yourself, have you? What do you want?
What was the question again?
But you can't just... You know, I give up. I'm going to hand over to Weelzebub. He can do the quiz. He's even less patient than me. For goodness sake, you two are morons. If you were travelling by Shank's pony, how would you be travelling? By you, I just mean the person I'm asking the question to. I don't really like you.
In the Queen's carriage.
No, you'd be walking in the Queen's carriage. What a ridiculous answer. Now, this question is very fitting. Can I read it? No, you've got a reading age of 12.
It's a better reading age than yours, you complete ninny.
Oh, shut up. I'm not going to react to that. It just makes him worse. Bullying. Stop, I'm going to report you in a minute, Wales. I'm going to report abuse on MySpace. Question number two. What is plonk?
Baboons!
I knew you were a pair of plonkers, I know that much. DJ Andrew. Dishcloth face.
It's a kind of alcohol.
Well, what sort of alcohol? It's an alcoholic drink. Is this just a guess? Or are you trying to
spirit?
Sound? No, it's not. It's wine. And I love
wine.
You two have got nothing right so far. I really love the way that you.
I did something. How did you do that?
Something because he works in the supermarket.
Oh, it's getting personal now. We're slinging insults about the place. This is ridiculous. it's actually wine, and I love the way you try to make your moronic answer sound intelligent by going, oh, is it an alcohol? Maybe it's got a benzene ring in it. I know about science, I do. The question we're going to... there's no point doing another question, because none of you have a clue. What is an oik? No, I'm not going to ask you that one, because it's both of you two, you're oiks. What's an Oscar?
An Oscar? An Oscar award?
Yeah, can you need to buzz in?
Oh, no.
So, yeah, what is an Oscar?
I can't remember. It's something to do with television and entertainment last time I knew.
Yeah, I'll give you that one. It was for it's for films. So that means Danny wins Quizzical Quiz.
Yay.
I'm gonna send you, I've already sent you a web ringtone once, haven't I? And there aren't any new ones out, so I guess your prize will be absolutely diddly squit. Oh dear, this
can I have one of your jingles then?
Oh alright.
Yeah, we want a jingle.
Oh, for goodness sake. Okay, I'll send you the worst jingle I've ever created. And thanks for calling.
That's alright, anytime. You know where to call. Yeah. It's all Ghostbusters!
Oh, call Broadmoor Mental Ward. Oh my god.
Thank God it's Friday. It's the day after Thursday.
This is me, Rodders, signing out for another excruciatingly painful night of Rodders FM. Thanks to our guest, Ian Lee. Good night.
Broadcast and a show. And then I really have to go. On the radio. Rodders, Rodders, you've been my favorite show. I can't hear the radio if I'm not gonna hear your voice. Louder, louder, I'll turn up the stereo. I will hear the radio playing your